Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yata Pada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajevam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanitamscha He Krishna Karana Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radhakanta Namastate Tapta Kanchana Korange Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Stute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakaupa Tarubhyascha Kripasindu Bhayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasade Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
We're reading Bhagavad Gita, chapter 10, Opulences of the Absolute, text number 11.
Tesham Ivanu Kampartam. Aham Magyana Jamtama Nashayami Atma Bhavasto Gyana Dipena Basvata.
Translation. To show them special mercy, I, dwelling in their hearts, destroy with the shining lamp of knowledge the darkness born of ignorance. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. When Lord Chaitanya was in Benares, promulgating the chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, thousands of people were following him. Prakashananda Sarasati, a very influential and learned scholar in Benares at that time, derided Lord Chaitanya for being a sentimentalist. Sometimes Mayavadi philosophers criticize the devotees because they think that most of the devotees are in the darkness of ignorance and are philosophically naive sentimentalists. Actually, this is not the fact. There are very, very learned scholars who have put forward the philosophy of devotion. But even if a devotee does not take advantage of their literatures or of his spiritual master, if he is sincere in his devotional service, he is helped by Krishna himself within his heart. So the sincere devotee engaged in Krishna consciousness cannot be without knowledge. The only qualification is that one carry out devotional service in full Krishna consciousness. Rabindra Swarup Prabhu,
who is our devotee scholar, describes that there are two types of spiritual lines. One is more inclined to philosophy, and the other is more of a sentimental nature. We see, for example, even in other traditions outside Hinduism, you will see that there are people also who like to sing songs, engage in different, something like our kirtan, only of a different nature. But again, you know, singing and emotional displays. And there are others also who are more inclined to philosophy and discuss, speculate on the nature of God and the Absolute Truth. So we are often identified as belonging to the sentimental group. Maybe has a lot to do with our street Sankirtan, and sometimes the temple, nature of the temple activities. Maybe not so much here in the south, but if you go to Bengal, you can appreciate more. You know, the Bengali people, they seem to take great pleasure in chanting and dancing, and often it becomes more of a joke, not very seriously done. They take it in a very light-hearted mood. But so, this is not uncommon. People, even 500 years ago, Prabhupada describes that Prakashananda Saraswati accused Lord Chaitanya of also being a sentimentalist, simply singing and dancing, you know, like a madman. People often accuse, you know, you're going the streets and sing and dance, you know, you people are crazy. Prabhupada even wrote his article, Who is Crazy? Right? That you say we are crazy, but we say you are also crazy. So this was in response to this, because people were always saying, you devotee, you people must be crazy. Just sing and dance all day. So Lord Chaitanya was accused of being a sentimentalist, but when Prakasananda Saraswati began to discuss philosophy with him, then it was a different matter. That Lord Chaitanya, of course, he himself is the compiler of the Vedas, and he knows the Vedas better than anyone. So, you know, he could enlighten Prakasananda about the true meaning of the Vedic knowledge. Similarly, devotees are also, you know, encouraged not to just be sentimentalists, not to just only chant, although that chanting is in itself perfection. And in even the scriptural verses there, that one who is engaged in chanting the holy name, it's understood that previously he's already studied all the Vedic scriptures, and he's already acquired all the good qualities of the Aryans and visited all the holy places and performed all sacrifices, etc. However, it may not be true for every person. It's true if you're constantly chanting. The question is how much we're chanting. You see, Haridas Thakur, he certainly could discuss philosophy very nicely and defeat anyone who challenged him, because he was chanting a lot and with good quality. But our chanting may not, it's not going to be on the same level. We cannot imitate Haridas Thakur. Therefore, we also have to not just simply chant, but also have some knowledge of the scriptures. We often quote Prabhupada as saying, religion without philosophy is sentiment, and philosophy without religion is speculation. So both should be there. There should be a combination of religion as well as philosophy. We do study philosophy. We don't try to be gyanis, but we do want to have a basic understanding of the scriptures. And we encourage the devotees in this way. Prabhupada, of course, instituted our program for studying scriptures. I think many of you here are doing Bhakti Shastri, isn't it? Yeah, very good. Yeah, Bhakti Shastri means studying Bhagavad Gita, the first half of Nectar of Devotion, as well as the small books like Sri Upanishad and Upadeshamrita and other books which Prabhupada has written, small books. And then, I mean, that's very good for get the basic grasp of the philosophy. And then we can go on and study more. Now, some devotees are studying also what Prabhupada calls Bhakti Vaibhav, where you study the first six cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam, and then it goes on to study the other. You can go into the other stages, study the remaining six cantos, Bhakti Sarvabhauma, is it? Bhakti Vedanta, and then Chaitanya Charitamrita is Bhakti Vedanta. Like that. Anyway, systematic study of the scriptures in the association of devotees. Of course, we do also have our regular classes, morning and evening. And Prabhupada sometimes considered that to be enough. If we hear every day, if you attend the class every day and hear morning and evening, you're hearing systematically the philosophy of Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita presented, then that can keep us very strong in Krishna consciousness. Bhakti Shastri, of course, is also a good help. Prabhupada certainly wanted it. Those people, Prabhupada said initially, it was for those who want to be brahmanas. They should all be Bhakti Shastris. They should be qualified. They should be pandits. So they should know this basic philosophy. We're not just only sentimentalists. We don't want to be naive sentimentalists. We want to be able to explain the philosophy. People may challenge us. So Lord Chaitanya, he was challenged and he could present the philosophy. And similarly also, we have to represent Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada's movement, and present these teachings. So this verse, this is the fourth verse of the Chaturshloki. We heard in the previous verse, first of all in text 8, Lord Krishna's opulences were described and it was stated that if we know in truth these opulences of Krishna, we would become pure devotees. Yeah, we would become pure devotees. If we actually knew in truth the opulences of Krishna, we would become pure devotees and engage in the worship of Lord Krishna with great faith and with bhava, actually, the word was used. Then Lord Krishna went on to describe how we would worship Krishna. Because he said, you know, if we know Krishna's opulence, we will worship him. So text 9 described how we will worship Krishna. And it was especially mentioned that our minds, the thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me. Their lives are surrendered unto me. And especially they derive great satisfaction and bliss, enlightening one another and conversing about me. So this is how devotees worship Krishna. It's not that we have to just only worship the deity and, you know, have an altar and offer arti and worship Krishna, like, but just speaking about Krishna also, glorifying Krishna with nice words, quoting scriptures. This is also worship of Krishna. So that is describing the process of devotional service, abhidaya. And then Krishna went on to describe how he reciprocates with those devotees who worship him. And last night we heard how Krishna reciprocates. Tesham ivanu kampartam aham magyana gyam tamaha. Krishna says, Tesham satita yuktanam bhajatam pritipurvakam. To those who are constantly devoted and worship me with all, I give the understanding by which they may come to me. So Krishna gives that understanding. This is Krishna's reciprocation. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur questions that, you know, since we've been in this material world a very long time, is it really possible that Krishna could penetrate our dark hearts? Because we've been in this material world, you know, so long. Well, we're nitya badas, and we're becoming devotees. So is it really possible that Krishna could penetrate this covering in our hearts? So this verse is quoted in response to this. Lord Krishna is saying, out of special mercy, anukampam artha, this special mercy of Krishna, I destroy the darkness of ignorance with the lamp of knowledge. So this is how Krishna is reciprocating with all of us who are trying to be devotees. That if we make a sincere effort to be a devotee, Krishna helps. Krishna reciprocates. Krishna wants to serve the devotee more than we want to serve him. But as we surrender to him, he reciprocates more. And he makes all arrangements to help us. So this is something we should all experience actually in our own life. As we try to take up devotional service, we see how Krishna arranges different things, helps us to remove the obstacles. When we make some determined vow to try to commit ourselves to perform devotional service, then Krishna starts to help. He starts to make arrangements to remove all of the obstacles in the path of progress. And especially if you try to preach, you try to explain Krishna consciousness to people. You know, sometimes Krishna just takes over and starts speaking through you. You go out and you distribute books sometimes, you know, and you don't know what to say. You really have no idea what to say or how to approach people. Sometimes Krishna just takes charge. And he just sends you, you know, he just arranges, somebody comes up and, you know, and you just start talking away. And you don't, without even thinking about it, you know, you start to preach what you've been hearing. You know, it's there in the heart. And it comes out when we make a little effort to serve Krishna. So we should all try to experience this reciprocation with Krishna. Krishna reciprocates with pure devotees. You say, oh, that's a bad, I'm not qualified. I'm not a pure devotee. But we can become pure. We just have to have that sincere desire to want to serve Krishna. Prabhupada describes, even a devotee has a spiritual master, he's initiated, he's in a spiritual organization, but he's not taking advantage of the scriptures, but he's sincerely trying to do service. Krishna arranges, Krishna helps. He destroys that darkness in the heart. He makes arrangement for them. Prabhupada goes on, the Mayavadi philosophers think that without discriminating, one cannot have pure knowledge. For them, this answer is given by the Supreme Lord. Those who are engaged in pure devotional service, even though they be without sufficient education, and even without sufficient knowledge of the Vedic principles, are still helped by the Supreme God, as stated in this verse. So the Mayavada philosophers, you know, they will have a hard time explaining the significance of this verse, because they're thinking, you know, it's all by their own efforts, by their own endeavor to acquire knowledge. Theirs is the ascending process. They're trying to climb up. They're trying to understand the Supreme by their own limited intelligence. And they have, of course, their whole process is, as described in Bhagavad Gita, very difficult, very troublesome. Klesho dekatarastesham avyakta sakta chetasam. the whole process is full of troubles. But they cannot understand how the Lord reciprocates with the devotee. They have no concept of a supreme. For them, everything is one. There's only the oneness. There's only the Brahman. If you yourself are God, then how can God enlighten you? So for the Mayavadis, this concept of being enlightened by the Lord, how the Lord can give knowledge in the heart, you know, this they can never understand. But devotees, we experience this practically, very often. Krishna acts, giving us this understanding. Prabhupada explained, you don't have to be educated. Education is not such an important thing. Even though they may be without sufficient education, and even without sufficient knowledge of the Vedic principles, because Krishna doesn't consider these qualifications very important. What is important is our sincerity. That sincere desire, how to be sincere. Prabhupada said, simply by being sincere. We're not trying to cheat. We just want to properly try and offer some insignificant service to Krishna. And this is sincerity of purpose. Depending on the mercy of the Lord, we make some attempt to perform service. We don't know if Krishna will accept it, but we make the attempt anyway. That is sincerity. So material education is not such a great thing. In fact, the more one is learned, then sometimes one can be the cause of pride. Too much knowledge, especially material knowledge. Bhaktivinod Thakur describes in his own life, when he was a young man, he was very proud of his learning and he'd studied a lot. But then later on in life, he realized the futility of all of that material knowledge. The more we cultivate the material knowledge, the more we become attracted by it and enamored by the material world. So, very dangerous thing, simply cultivating material knowledge. The perfection of knowledge is in surrendering to Krishna. Bhagavad Gita, of course, describes that. When one is actually in knowledge, after many births and deaths, then he surrenders to Vasudeva, Krishna, knowing him to be all the cause of all causes and all that is. However, Krishna also says such a great soul is very rare. So, by the path of knowledge, it's not so common that people will surrender themselves to Krishna. Learning is required a little. You know, we were talking that we want to learn a little, but some people, when they come to Krishna consciousness, even they have no education, but they can be very great devotees. They can render very nice service just by their humility, by their sincerity of purpose, that they simply want to give some service for Krishna. Krishna is not conquered by knowledge. He is conquered by the service attitude, that mood of devotion. That is what is attracting Krishna. Prabhupada goes on, the Lord tells Arjuna that basically there is no possibility of understanding the supreme truth, the absolute truth, the supreme personality of Godhead, simply by speculating. For the supreme truth is so great that it is not possible to understand him or to achieve him simply by making a mental effort. Man can go on speculating for several millions of years, and if he is not devoted If he is not a lover of the Supreme Truth, he will never understand Krishna or the Supreme Truth. Only by devotional service is the Supreme Truth Krishna pleased, and by his inconceivable energy he can reveal himself to the heart of the pure devotee. The pure devotee always has Krishna within his heart. And with the presence of Krishna, who is just like the sun, the darkness of ignorance is at once dissipated. This is the special mercy rendered to the pure devotee by Krishna. Now Prabhupada says here, the pure devotee always has Krishna in his heart. But isn't Krishna in the heart of every living entity? Of course, Krishna is in the heart of every living entity. But in the pure devotee, he's not so covered. In the heart of the pure devotee, Krishna is more inclined to reciprocate, to give more guidance, and to give this light of knowledge, which he's talking about. We should understand this light of knowledge. This is something very special. This is not just simply, you're not the body. It's not this, you know, it's some very special knowledge, which is special mercy, as is mentioned. So the special mercy which is given to the pure devotees. We do not know how that knowledge will be, how it may come. But it's very special. So Prabhupada explains, you can go on speculating about the absolute truth for millions of years. Brahma Samhita says, Pantastu Koti Satavatsara Sampragamyo. You know, these yogis who partake themselves to pranayam, or the ones who speculate on the absolute truth by the process of elimination of the mundane, this goes on for millions and millions of years. But then what is the result? They still cannot even approach, or they can only approach the covering of the tips of the toe of the lotus feet of Govinda. They cannot actually get shelter at the lotus feet, but they get somewhere near the covering, the outer covering of the lotus feet of Govinda. So that's after millions of years. But with the process of devotion, it doesn't take hardly any time. This is the nature of devotional service, that the whole process can be very quick, very rapid. If we take to it properly, we do everything we're supposed to do, it doesn't take hardly any time at all. Sometimes people are surprised how quickly people can change once they become devotees. If they take up the process wholeheartedly, you know, within hardly any time, people completely change. They give up all their bad habits and become completely rejuvenated in pure spiritual consciousness just by contact with service to Krishna. So this is the nature of devotional service. It's very effective. No material qualification. Free. But still, not everyone is willing to accept. Some people think, oh, it's too easy. You know, and they think also, oh, chanting Hare Krishna doesn't look very good. You know, if you sit and do yoga, that looks good. That's really spiritual, you know. Yeah, I mean, you see these people do meditation, you know, that's really spiritual, you know. Sit silently, and of course after the yoga, they go out and smoke cigarettes and do, yeah, we had a nice yoga session, we had a nice meditation there tonight. And then somebody said, yeah, I could see the aura, you know. And think, yeah, this is really spiritual, you know. You know, everyone loves to be cheated, you know. You give them something genuine, and they think, oh, it's too easy, you know. Can it be? It can't be so easy, no. So this is a problem, Kali Yuga. You know, people are very unlucky. Manda sumanda matayo manda bhagya upadruta. People are just unlucky. Even when they want genuine spiritual life, they will be cheated. Prabhupada goes on, due to the contamination of material association through many, many millions of births, one's heart is always covered with the dust of materialism. But when one engages in devotional service and constantly chants Hare Krishna, the dust quickly clears and one is elevated to the platform of pure knowledge. The ultimate goal, Vishnu, can be attained only by this chant and by devotional service and not by mental speculation or argument. The pure devotee does not have to worry about the material necessities of life. He need not be anxious because when he removes the darkness from his heart, everything is provided automatically by the Supreme Lord, who is pleased by the loving devotional service of the devotee. This is the essence of the teaching of Bhagavad Gita. By studying Bhagavad Gita, one can become a soul completely surrendered to the Supreme Lord and engage himself in pure devotional service. As the Lord takes charge, one becomes completely free from all kinds of materialistic endeavors. So, Prabhupada says this reciprocation between the Lord and the devotee, this is the essence of Bhagavad Gita. Of course, reading this and how Krishna will provide all the necessities for the devotee, one is immediately reminded of another verse, very similar, right? What's that verse? 9th chapter? Tesham? Tesham? What is it? How does it go? Yoga kshema vahamyaham. You know, Krishna said, Ananyas chintayanto mam, chek. Te jan paryupasate tesham nitya bhyuktanam yoga kshemam vahamyaham. Yes, Krishna says, for one who meditates on my transcendental form and worships me with love, for them I carry what they lack and I preserve what they have. Krishna is saying like that he provides. If you lack something, Krishna will give it. And whatever you've got, you don't have to worry about losing it. He will maintain it for you. So this statement of Krishna is paraphrased here by Prabhupada also. He said, you don't have to worry about material necessities. If you're worried, well, if I surrender to Krishna, how will I manage? And Prabhupada said, no, Krishna will take care. Krishna will make arrangements. He doesn't say how, but you know. Yeah, you have to have that faith. You see, this is a faith. Anyway, you have to, as we say, this is pure devotion. This is the higher stage of devotion. We have to come to this. We don't get transcendence prematurely. You know, it's like sometimes. They were talking to one devotee. One devotee was saying, oh, this is so wonderful, this Krishna consciousness, chanting and dancing. I'm going to do this my whole life. And so then they say, how long have you been doing it? And say, I just came yesterday. It's a bit like that, you know, in the beginning, you know. Yeah, I'm going to do this my whole life. But, you know, can you do it your whole life? That's another question. We have to see. We hope so. But Krishna does say, he's making his promise here. You know, Baladev Vijayabhusan said, the devotee doesn't have to worry about getting this knowledge. He doesn't have to make any effort on his part. How is Krishna going to give me this knowledge? What do I have to do? It's not the devotee's job to think like that. Krishna himself will do it. Krishna says, I will do it. Just like he says, I quoted this, yoga kshema vahamyaham. There's that nice story about Arjuna Charya. Arjunacharya was a noble Brahmana, very poor. And he was reading Bhagavad Gita, Yoga Kshema Vahamyaham. Krishna says, I carry what they lack. I preserve what they have. And he thought, oh, it couldn't be that Krishna personally does it. So he scored out Vahami and he put Karomi. He put somebody else. I will arrange somebody to do it. Not that I will personally do it. But Karomi means that somebody, I will arrange somebody to do it. He scored it out. And then he went out to do his begging. And when he was out begging, a knock came at the door and his wife opened the door and there were two boys there, young boys. One is a dark color, one is a white color. And they said, here, quick, take this food. Quick, your husband's coming. We want to run before he comes. He told us to bring this food for you. And they gave all big, opulent, nice foodstuffs to the wife of Arjunacharya. And she said, whoa, wait, why has my husband done all this? What is this? And he said, no, we have to go quickly, he'll beat us. She said, what, my husband will beat you? And he said, yeah, look at the marks on her body, he already beat us. And they showed on their body, there were marks there, you see. And then they ran away. And so the woman was very surprised. So she came in, closed the door, and then she saw the food. She thought she will also eat. And she forgot all about her husband. And the husband came back, and he was very surprised. Wife is eating before me. Yeah. This is not Vedic, right? What kind? You're supposed to feed me first, then you eat. But then she said, how you could be so cruel? You beat those boys, those nice boys. And he said, what? What are you talking about? What have you been eating? What have you been taking? Maybe you didn't take your medicine today. Anyway, she said, no, there were two boys came. And she described. Then he understood. One is dark, one is white. Then he understood. Then he looked at his... Then he thought, no, there were marks on their body. He understood because he rubbed out. Krishna said, I personally carry him. So this rubbing out, this had put the marks on the body of Krishna. So Krishna had to come personally to convince him that he personally comes to serve the devotees, to maintain the devotees, to carry what they lack, to provide what they have. So this was the experience of Arjunacharya. So Baladev Vidyabhusan says also here, to get this knowledge, Krishna said, I destroy the darkness born of ignorance with the lamp of knowledge. Krishna does it himself. The devotee doesn't have to think, what do I have to do to get Krishna to do that? Krishna himself will do it when we're qualified. If we have the qualification, Krishna will do it. It's Krishna's job and Krishna is ready to do it. We just have to be qualified to receive this mercy. We have to be surrendered devotees, have that sincere desire to want to serve Krishna. And then Krishna acts on the heart. He destroys that darkness of ignorance and he gives us that knowledge by which we can come to him. So this is Krishna's promise. Prabhupada said, this is the essence of Bhagavad Gita, this reciprocation between Krishna and his devotee. And so, devotees, we can relish these statements of Lord Krishna, of course. This is something which we constantly meditate on. When will we ever become qualified that Krishna will give us that knowledge from the heart? That we can come to him. So this is the Chatur Shloki. These are the four nutshell verses. Are there any questions? Yes, Prabhu. Krishna's Chaitya Guru. Anyway, you speak up. It's a small room. You can... Uh-huh. When Krishna is the Chaitanya Guru, why does he arrange that there's a Guru Parampara and Shiksha Guru, Diksha Guru? Why that? Because Chaitanya Guru is not enough. We're not, our hearts are not so pure that we can simply depend on Chaitanya Guru. First you have to purify the heart. Therefore, Diksha Guru, Shiksha Guru are there to help you clean the heart. We explained actually in an earlier class like that, that in the beginning you need Shiksha Guru, Diksha Guru to help you clean the heart. Then as your heart becomes purified, then you can rely more on Chaitanya Guru. But the Chaitanya Guru should be confirmed also by Shiksha Guru, by Diksha Guru, by Shastra. Not that you just blindly follow your own heart. You have to also confirm. Sadhu, Shastra, Guru. All the same. So like this. When the heart is pure, then, okay, you can Chaitanya Guru. But in the beginning, our hearts are not pure. That's why Diksha Guru, Shiksha Guru is there to guide us, help us clean the heart. Otherwise, we'll just cheat ourselves. Oh, the Guru in the heart told me I don't need to chant 16 rounds. Guru in the heart told me I don't need to follow four principles. You know, it goes on all the time. We hear these things. Another question? Yeah? Eight is describing the opulences of Krishna, that everything comes from Krishna. And then it describes, you know, the pure devotee will worship Krishna. Knowing this opulence of Krishna, you will worship Krishna. And then we went on to say 9 describes how you will worship Krishna. And 10 and 11 both describe Krishna's reciprocation with the devotee. 10 and 11 are both prayojana. Another?
You mentioned that the cultivation of material knowledge is dangerous because it leads to pride. For some people in certain professions, the profession is to cultivate knowledge. So, how can they avoid the pitfalls? How can they keep the concentration?
You have to cultivate the spiritual knowledge. You have to hear the spiritual knowledge so that you're aware. Just like I mentioned Rabindra Swarup Prabhu, he was telling Prabhupada he was going to go to the university to study comparative religions, and he would have to read, to study philosophy of religion, and he would have to read books by Shankaracharya. And Prabhupada had written in the books, you know, that nobody should hear the philosophy of Shankaracharya because it bewilders the mind of a devotee. And even a Mahabhagavat devotee, if they hear the philosophy of Shankaracharya, they can become bewildered. And Mayavadi Bhasha Shunihaila Nasa. You know, Lord Chaitanya said, greatest offenders, Mayavadi Aparadi. So he shouldn't hear this philosophy, but he was going to go to university. He'd have to read it and study it and write about it. So Prabhupada said, yeah, so you have to be very careful. Prabhupada gave him, he told me, you do it. You're going to study, you're going to learn, get qualifications so you can write papers about Krishna consciousness to support the Krishna conscious philosophy. And in the course of doing that, you have to read all the nonsense. So be careful. Be very careful. So like that, if your job is studying material knowledge, you have to be very careful. Be careful. Don't become enamored by it. Don't think it's all in all. You have to give proper time for spiritual life. Not that you devote your whole life to just cultivating material knowledge. You know, working all day just only cultivating nations. There has to be a balanced program. You cultivate knowledge side by side with nations. You don't just go only on the material knowledge. You have to have some time where you can also cultivate the spiritual knowledge to protect yourself from all of the contamination of the material knowledge. You have to have proper time to do sadhana, to chant. Otherwise, the material knowledge is becoming is more and more of a contamination in the heart. Another question, Mataji? To attract the mercy of Krishna. Well, sometimes we say by the mercy of the spiritual master, you get the mercy of Krishna. So, if you get the mercy of your spiritual master, you get the mercy of Krishna. You have to please your spiritual master. And then you know your if your spiritual master's pleased, you know Krishna's pleased. Please the devotees. We can't think of just please Krishna, right? You have to please the devotees of Krishna. Then Krishna's pleased. If the devotees all bless you, then your guru will be pleased. And he will bless you. Krishna will bless you. Yes, Prabhu. Yes, if you know the opulence, if we know the opulence is in full, that is. You know, you have to, if you, you of course we can never know totally in full, but if we know with full faith the opulences of Krishna, yeah, this is part of the prerequisite for pure devotion, that we shouldn't understand Krishna's greatness. We should think how wonderful Krishna is. And when we know that Krishna is so wonderful, then naturally we'll think, you know, we'll become more absorbed in thinking of Him. The mind will be more attracted to Him, constantly think of Him. Even in the mundane world, you know, if you have some friend who is very rich or very famous, you know, you think, wow, you know, my friend, he's so rich, he's so famous. You know, think of him, you think of him a lot, you know. So, we have Krishna for our friend. He is Swayam Bhagavan, full of all opulences. We can think of him, think of his opulences. But not only just think of them, but worship him also. So yeah, knowing the opulences of Krishna, we have more devotion for Krishna. We're inclined to worship him. Well, Mira, is that, I know, I don't know so much about the Ram and Kabir. Yeah, I was going to say, you know, her mood is a little different from the devotee, from our line, different from our line. Because her mood is that she's seeing Krishna, you see. But the Goswamis and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they taught the worship of Krishna in separation. They would, you know, they don't, they would, they say, where is Krishna? But Mira says, I see Krishna. Krishna's dancing before me, coming, you know. Like, you know, so she, her songs and like that are not in the line, the same line as we follow. J. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Goswamis, they taught us to worship Krishna in separation. This mood of separation is more powerful, even more powerful. You know, we see a lot of people become sahaja. They will come and say, "Oh, Krishna came to me last night, and he was telling me, you know, and he was talking to me." And you know, you often get these kind of people. What is a qualification to see Krishna? We don't really know, and we wonder, you know. But in our line, we don't give so much importance to seeing Krishna. Our goal is to love Krishna. You know, people say they see Krishna, but they don't have any love for Krishna. And they see Krishna, and they don't even offer obeisances. You know, you saw Krishna. Did you bow down? Did you give him obeisance? Did you offer obeisance? No. Did you offer any prayers? No. Yeah, you know, our whole literature is full of devotees offering prayers to Krishna. You know, unless you're on the level of the residents of Vrindavan, you know, like the Brijbasis, the residents of Vrindavan, they don't have to offer prayers to Krishna because they're eternal associates of Krishna. But Vasudeva and Devaki and, you know, everyone else, they will offer prayers to Krishna. But these people who tell you they see Krishna, you know, they don't know even know how to pray to Krishna. So our goal is to develop love for Krishna. Well, we're not following her. She's not in our line. Oh, you mean you like her songs? Yeah. Well, there are many other songs also, you know. The thing, you know, if you want to cultivate the right mood, if you're practicing Krishna consciousness, I mean, they might be nice songs, you know, and you can enjoy maybe the song in a material way, but we should be careful about falling into the trap, you know, thinking, you know, that one day, you know, you also see Krishna like that. Our mood is cultivated, you know, there are many other songs. We have the songs of the Vaishnavas. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has written wonderful songs, Sharanagati, all about surrender. And he's written songs about each of the six items of surrender. You know, accepting everything favorable for devotion and rejecting everything unfavorable. You know, there's unlimited songs. You know, you can sing these songs. And these will help us to cultivate more the mood favorable for devotional service, for devotional service in the manner which we are practicing, following Lord Chaitanya. You see, Mirabai doesn't follow Lord Chaitanya. Without following Lord Chaitanya, you're not going to understand Radha and Krishna. This is very important. You have to approach Lord Chaitanya. Rupa Raghunatha Padi Hai Bayakuti Kobai Hamase Yugala Priti. To understand the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, we have to go through the Goswamis like Rupa and Raghunath, and they bring us to Lord Chaitanya. And by their mercy, we can understand what is this Yugala Priti, the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. Any other question? Yeah? Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, good. It's good to ask. Any other question?
Yeah. So when he came, how that, like just by seeing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, or like he was keeping his effort,
Well, we, you know, in Chaitanya Charitamrita is described, you know, that when he did approach Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Mahaprabhu first of all told him, don't behave like a madman. He told him, you go home and continue as you're doing, and continue with your life. Don't behave like a madman. Don't just try and give up everything so prematurely. Mahaprabhu wanted him first of all to go back home and stay there and wait until he's properly situated. So then later on he got the opportunity to get the mercy of Nityananda. He put on the Shiradahi festival at Panihati, and then Lord Nityananda blessed him, placed his feet on his head and told him, very soon you will be delivered from material life. So like that, Raghunath. But, you know, he was very fortunate because, as you said, you know, his family were not only opulent, but they were also devotees. You know, and he was able to have great devotees come to their home. He had the opportunity to associate with many exalted Vaishnavas. And their family were worshipping also deities and observing all the culture. They were bringing Haridas Thakur to their home and things like this. Yeah. So, you know, he was very fortunate. He was given a lot of blessings. Not just one, but many blessings. But we also see that he was not attracted to material life. Sometimes the Lord places devotees in different situations. You know, like some devotee may be placed in a very poor, some devotees were placed in very poor families. They were poverty stricken. Kolaveka Sridhar was very poor, you know, and there was Nilambar Suklambar Brahmachari also begging, and then you had wealthy people like Pundarik Vidyanidhi. You know, he was wealthy. You had kings like Maharaj Prataparudra. And devotees are placed in all walks of life. We see some devotees are illiterate. Some devotees are blind. You know, why is it they're placed? You know, how is it a devotee, a pure devotee, could be like this? We wonder, oh, he's a pure devotee. Why is he blind? Why was he poor? You know, he's Krishna's pure devotee. But Krishna places his devotees in all different positions to show that the qualification is not material. It has nothing to do with anything material. Devotees can come from any walk of life. It's not, it doesn't matter. To show us this fact, you see. We have, you know, Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, and Gaurakishore Das Babaji, you know. Gaurakishore Das Babaji, almost illiterate, you know. But he's an acharya. He became the guru, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasati. Not by his material learning, but by his sadhana, by his devotion to Krishna, his intense practice of sadhana, rigidly chanting the holy name and shunning materialism. So Raghunath, he was placed in that situation of wealth. It's the same thing. Okay, so we thank you very much for giving me this opportunity to speak on these four verses. If there's any other questions, you can just stay behind. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. Yeah.